I'm Sarah X. Dillon.
I'm sorry, the talent is talking right now.
That's Miss Ross.
You.
All right. When we did Bigger Than Jesus at PSU, they just put a huge sign on my door that said Miss Ross. And then below it, it's like, Miss Ross is not to be looked in the eye. Pretty soon it's going to be like Roseanne. You'll all just have numbers. You, 5, get my coffee.
Thanks, Rick.
Who should we pick to give a number to? Let's pick an employee and no longer refer to them by name. Let's pick an employee and give them a number. Who don't we like? The list is so long.
You're long enough to dislike anybody.
Well, we'll find somebody. All right, well, the first person who annoys or wrongs us in any way or runs counter to our wishes or desires in any fashion, you will no longer have a name. You will be a number, and that number will be 2. You will no longer have a personal identity. Your identity will be that of the state. All collective will go towards the common good. All efforts shall be towards the group. All right.
Is that like Halliburton building these immigrant detention centers?
No, it's not at all like that.
Well, we'll do that at some point.
Okay. We should build a detention center in the studio for people who are wrong. It's just a small metal box. And then when Kirk disobeys us, we can put him in it. Pelt him with lemon rinds.
Then we won't have a spare board off.
It's going to be a good show. I just sense it.
Oh, boy.
We're already talking about metal boxes. It's 1 minute 43 seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of April, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by. Draw near, that ye might learn and be entertained. This is the Rick Emerson Show. I am he. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We are broadcasting from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. We appreciate your radio presence and your patronage. We are broadcasting from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon today, home of all that is technical, industrial, and good. Thank you for a come by. 503-733-2970. If you want to email, it's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. We are now one day away. Wait, hold on. Let me go to the actual counter. My website, we've actually got an actual counter running. Hold on one second. Let's see, here we go. We are now 1 day, 6 hours, 57 minutes, and 17 seconds away from Listener Party 9. Coming up tomorrow, Thursday, 7 p.m., Ballas Mount Tabor, 49th and Arthur. You can see this at rickemerson.com. I got this in the email, as my grandmother would say. Actual fortune cookie fortune received by listener Troy this week. He scanned it and sent it to me. Troy went to some unknown place of Asian extraction, got a fortune, it says. You may attend a party where strange customs prevail. Your lucky number is 5. So there you go. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Here's what's coming up today. Tom and Katie had a baby. Let it a baby bada daddy. Well, whatever. So the cruise, whatever. Cruise Holmes cruise baby. It's named Sunny or Sunny or... Shacky or Shimpy? Yeah. Shacky. It's something. We'll talk to CNN Radio's Jim Roop about the Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes. You know, they spawned, allegedly. I got a picture of her, though, that might confirm that it actually was, that she was pregnant during the time they said she was pregnant. Sarah just rolls her eyes unbelievably.
There are skeptics among us.
Yes, I know. We'll talk about the Star Wars kid. You remember him? That kid, you saw his picture forwarded 500 times on the internet, that little video of him going and playing with the lightsaber. Good news for him. Let's see, what else? We'll qualify our final contestant today for Unleash Your Inner Rock and Roll God, the qualifiers of which will perform Rainbow in the Dark by one Ronnie James Dio tomorrow live at the Listener Party. We got 4. Today we'll do the final one. What else? Lisa Goddard's going to join us today, and she doesn't know this, but we're going to ask her if George W. Bush has gone crazy because he wants to nuke Iran. Also, Scott McClellan quit, which we called like weeks ago on this program. Here on the Rick Emerson program, it's a broad spectrum of things we talk about. One day, placenta. Next day, placenta. Another day, placentas. And then sometimes, though, we talk about the White House press secretary and the incredible turnover rate. Here's taking those guys out with a pitchfork. So we'll talk about Scott McClellan, who's leaving to spend more time at home alone drinking by himself in a darkened closet, weeping. We'll talk about that. What else? Well, that's it. I don't want to tease anything else because we may or may not get to it. But we're going to be talking a lot about Listener Party 9, which is happening tomorrow. This is it. Well, not technically. Tomorrow I'll say this is it and it'll be accurate. I'm going to say it today and it's just hyperbole. This is it! This is it. The final moment is here. It's drawn nigh. It's upon us. It's lurking outside your door like a wolf in the inky blackness of the night in a Transylvanian castle in an outpost at the edge of space. None of those things are true except for the fact that Listener Party 9 is happening tomorrow, and you got to be there. You have to be there. You must. Dude, you must be there. You must be there. You must be there, as Jeremy Piven would say.
Oh.
It's happening tomorrow, 7 p.m. It's going to be the best time of your miserable, lame-ass life. I'm telling you that right now. And if you think that's hyperbole, you haven't been to any in the past. And this one is going to be, it's not just going to be, there will be no hook. There's no hook for it to have been on before it is then off of said hook. It's going to be the greatest night of your life. You won't remember most of it. That's how great it's going to be. It's going to be fan-freaking-tastic is what it's going to be. Hot chicks in schoolgirl outfits, the metal, the rock, the Tim Riley, Sarah Dillon will be there, myself, the extended cast and crew of the Rick Emerson Show, the Unleash Your Inner Rock and Roll God Contest, Shabala's Mount Tabor, Scary Clowns on the Wall. It's fantastic. Whole boatload of fine sponsors involved. It's a good time. All right, so we'll talk about that. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. That is a lie.
I know, I'm still fighting off my sickness.
Okay. Yeah, I was in the department head meeting this morning, and it's like 10 of us around the table, every third person. And then they always do that thing, well, I'm really sick, but I thought I'd make it into work today.
I know, I'm sorry you have to share air with me.
Oh, goddamn, and I just bit myself.
Ew.
Do you ever bite the inside of your lip when you're talking? And then,
yeah.
Of course, it gets all swelly. And then
it
you
just gets worse
then you
as the day goes on.
Keep biting it all day long because it's larger than the rest now. Ow. I was instant karma for making fun of your coughing. But I just passed the morning woman from a couple of country. Best hits and the biggest stars.
I don't know.
Yes, I believe that is it. Yes.
Well, a couple. Our sister station.
Bell's Country,
no,
K-U-P-L?
No, that's an old. No, don't read that. It's an old petitioner.
Oh, sorry.
Well, whatever. I passed the morning woman in the hallway. Literally, here's a replay. She's walking towards me. I'm walking towards her. Me. Da-da-da-da-da. Feeling good. Listener party. Immune system flawless. Right as I walk by, me. Hi, Alana. Her. Right. And then it's like I'm walking through a cloud of germs.
Oh.
And then we're all in a room together. Good times. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, it was a morning of the long knives at the White House as Scott McClellan watched the plank. Karl Rove is demoted, or so they'd like us to believe. Britney Spears may sue over her baby's high chair fall. And get that litter box filled. Tomcat's kitten comes home.
Okay, thank you. Hopefully this is the last time we'll have to hear the tomcat. Kristen from accounting points out the number of the person not to be named should be 6. All right, we will do that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's all coming up. What else? Well, that's it. There's nothing else. Just the listener party, Tom Cruise. I got this thing about the nachos. That's it, basically. Now I'm just killing time. Doing nothing. Waiting here. Making you anticipate Tim Riley's news. For no reason. I could have gotten to it 30 seconds ago. Sitting here, making you anticipate it with every fiber of your being, with every molecule of your... Never mind. Here's the news. Thank you.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Jim Rather reporting. Oh, we have so much stuff to get to, so let's get right to it. It's the Bushwatch.
Here's your Bushwatch for
president, resident, he's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard, that's the price of fame when you're president.
Everyone knows your name.
Hey, what's that there? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House.
That's on my own.
That's my Bush.
In an appearance with the president this morning, it was a big surprise to everyone. Scott McClellan says it was time to move on.
The White House is going through a period of transition. Change can be helpful. And this is a good time and good position.
Run for the door,
to help
baby.
Bring about change. I'm ready to move on.
Oh,
I've been
yeah.
in this position a long time.
He's now this means we'll now have the third one.
Yeah.
Because it was Ari Fleischer and it was Scott McClellan, who I said wouldn't last. I said he was soft. Now, he lasted a lot longer than I thought he would, but I knew he'd scurry like a rat off the Titanic.
He has nothing but praise for the Bush administration.
You've accomplished a lot over the last several years.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
what a legacy.
I've been honored and grateful to be a small part of a terrific and talented team of really good people.
I think they say this because otherwise Karl Rove's going to have a guy come and shiv you while you're asleep so you don't give away secrets.
And coming soon, nuclear annihilation in the Middle East. Hey, thanks, President Bush, for the chance to work for such a great team.
I have given it my all, sir, and I've given you my all.
Please don't have
me
killed. And I will
continue to do so as we transition to a new press secretary over the next 2 to 3 weeks. Thank you for the opportunity.
Lizzie, he doesn't even sound happy. He's as happy as he gets.
He knows what's coming. We all know what's coming.
But even quitting, he sounds unhappy. Doesn't he sound palpably nervous to you?
I've given it my all, sir. And I've given you my all. And I will continue to do so as we transition to a new press secretary over the next 2 to 3 weeks.
A little
weeks.
Catch in his throat
Thank
there?
Thank you for the opportunity.
I feel bad for that guy.
Well, that's a thankless job anyway.
Now our replacer is clear to write a book.
That's what I mean. Who are they possibly going to get to replace? Who would take that job?
So this
Tony
is the guy that's...
Snow, they're saying.
No.
Yep. Tony Snow.
You're kidding me.
Of the Fox News channel. He also does a radio program.
Well, somewhere. And he used to fill in for Rush Limbaugh. A fantastically untalented broadcaster, by the way.
Other people have been approached, including Victoria Clark and Dan Senior, the former Provisional Authority spokesman in Iraq. Also, Paul Bremer, remember him?
Yeah.
Members of the old team.
Well, all right. Well, there
Meanwhile,
you go.
The president thanks McClellan for his service to the country.
I don't know whether or not the press corps realizes it, but his is a challenging assignment, dealing with
you on a
regular basis.
Oh, yeah, it's because of the press. That's why it's hard.
He handled his assignment with integrity. He really represents, you know, the best of his family, our state, and our country.
Having to ignore Helen Thomas constantly.
The president says McClellan will be tough to replace.
One of these days, he and I are going to be rocking on chairs in Texas talking about the good old days of his time as the press secretary. And I can assure you I will feel the same way then that I feel now, that I can say this guy, job well done.
Really, the idea that Bush even now would classify this as the good old days. Those good old days when nobody...
That doesn't give me hope for the future.
Nobody had a job.
You're
and
not
cash
supposed
was
to have hope for the future.
$40 a gallon, and we were getting ready to nuke Iran, and everybody was terrified to open their mail. Those were good times. Let's hoist a glass, shall we?
Meanwhile, it says here Karl Rove is giving up his policy portfolio. What is that, like a briefcase?
I saw this last night, and they just said portfolio. They said Rove to reduce portfolio, and I thought, it's just like, it's not like a full disclosure thing, like a stock thing, but I don't even know what that means.
The carry-on bag? I put my stuff in?
They won't admit that he does anything. I don't understand how can he reduce the parameters of a job that they won't even, I mean, it's not that they hide it, but they won't. Have you ever seen anybody lay out, like, on paper? No, okay, I'm going to write this down. This
like job what, description?
Yeah,
Karl
like,
Rove?
Well, like, if he was Scotty J, who, by the way, will be at Listener Party 9. Yeah.
His peeps will like that.
If Karl Rove, if he was Carly R, our engineer, what would his resume be said? They don't publicly even lay out exactly what it is he does. So I'm going to ask this to Lisa Goddard. What does Karl Rove do? What won't he do? Rove. Reducing his portfolio. He really just is these sort of this...
Well, he draws those cue cards with a big magic marker and holds them in front of the president when he's making speeches.
He's just sort of this Newman-esque figure that lurks in the background like a sinister lurking thing. So, all right, we'll ask her about that.
Meanwhile, a scheduled presidential trip to Alabama has been delayed as military officials check a possible mechanical problem with the presidential helicopter known as Marine One. President Bush boarded the chopper, then hopped off to shake hands with some tourists. He then went back inside the White House to prepare for a motorcade trip to Andrews Air Base. Bush will travel to Alabama for a speech on science and technology.
This is in Alabama. That's the confluence of all absurdities. George Bush speaking about science in Alabama.
Well, they'll understand just about anything there.
What's he going to say? It doesn't exist. There is no science. Science is, it's a figment. What could he possibly, in one sense, it is sort of like Jesus going to where the sinners are. If you want to go to where there's an empty glass that needs to be filled science-wise, Alabama is the place. It doesn't seem like they're really, they're not really agitating to learn more about science there. Really, their science has only gotten so far as to like the fact that George Bush comes out of the magic little glowing box with the lights and the wires in the back of it. And you can't stare too long because then your soul will be sucked away. That's it. And furthermore, it boggles the mind to imagine what the substance of a George Bush speech on science would even consist of. What would it even be?
Kind of fold up a paper bag or something? Probably as much as they can grab.
Is he going to do it? Is he going to do it like, is he going to have to sacrifice an ox beforehand so the great spirit god in the sky won't create inclement weather? All right, well, whatever. There you go. So that's what's happening there.
You know, I got a copy of the newest Rolling Stone magazine. On the cover, it says, Bush, the worst president in history? Question mark. George W. Bush's presidency appears headed for colossal historical disgrace. So declares Rolling Stone magazine in a planned cover story. The worst president in history hits the streets on Friday.
Well, he's no Ulysses Grant.
Also, confessions of Dick Lachey surviving the tabloid hurricane.
He's on the cover of Cargo? Is that what it is? He's on the cover of Cargo this month.
In the last issue.
Sitting there just... Here's the thing. Here's what I figured out about him. Because, you know, I have this... Are we done with the Bushwatch?
I believe so, yes.
There's your Bushwatch. See how I was... I closed one element before beginning another? Tell me I need a consultant. Here's the thing about Nick Lachey, because we had this whole discussion about whether he is an attractive man. You do not feel he's attractive.
Not at all.
See, but how can you say not at all? The Elephant Man, John Merrick's not attractive at all.
There's just really nothing appealing about him. I don't think his hair is attractive.
You
his
go
clothes,
for weird guys, though. No offense to anyone. No, but I'm saying you go for men who are not cut from the typical everyday cloth, let's say.
Nick Lachey just looks short and stout. He just doesn't... It just doesn't.
Is
do
he
it
a tall
me.
Man?
No.
He is. Is he stout or is he just sort of solidly built?
Well, he's solid. I mean, I think he's exercises.
Solid. I think he's solid. I know this makes it sound like I have a huge homoerotic.
Yeah, you keep bringing it up.
Not even homoerotic, just gay. Makes it sound like I have a big gay. It's not true. I'm just saying I have this theory because I've heard from many other women who are like Nick Lachey does nothing for me. I don't find him. Here's the thing. I think if you didn't know him, in other words, if you didn't know him from Newlyweds and Jessica Simpson. And if he wasn't, if from 98 degrees and all that, if he was just, if you just, would walk into the elevator and hit the elevator doors open and he walked off, you would totally be like,
no.
That's the hottest guy.
No, because I know his type and I'm not attracted to
what
that
is his type.
Type? He's the type that wears like the shiny basketball shorts, like Kyle. Like he would hang out
really,
with Kyle.
No, that really is true. Now, it doesn't want to.
Doesn't do anything for me.
Now, you dated, didn't you date for some time a man who now hangs out with Kyle quite frequently, isn't that true?
Well, yes, but he didn't wear shiny basketball shorts.
And he didn't hang out with Kyle when you were dating, to be fair.
He didn't. The shiny basketball shorts came after he started hanging out with Kyle.
You ruined him. As soon as the dumping happens, he puts on, like, spandex and starts doing reps at the gym with Kyle. Sir, dump me. Let's go do leg lifts. Shower. What? It's true. What have I said that's not public knowledge? Hello? Can you hear me in the back? Kyle's going to be there on Thursday, by the way. Megan won't come as a schoolgirl, but she did, and this is, I'm quoting now from Kyle's email. He said, probably in some sort of a thick, intoxicated stupor, Megan won't come as a schoolgirl, but she did, and I'm quoting now, promised to dress all slutty. So there you go. So we're going to have that working for you.
Kyle is one lucky guy.
I'm not trying to impugn any, what are these people possibly calling about? For the love of sweet holy God. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's your glorious former program director and the...
Hello, Bruce. How are you?
Now retired Walker calling you from the Hoyt Arboretum. So sorry for being a bit out of breath.
That's okay.
It's all uphill where he lives.
It's kind of a Gary Baumgarten thing. What's up?
Oh, I just I didn't know that you had read your New York Times yet this morning, so I didn't know if you'd seen the best bit of Bush news today. You know who Tom Friedman is, right?
Yes, I do.
The foreign affairs columnist for the New York Times.
Yes.
And the main guy that there was any main reason there was any support for the war in Iraq from anybody but the right. Because he came out in favor of it, and he was the guy behind the Pottery Barn rule, you know.
Now, I haven't read today's Times, though, Tim.
Well, in his column today, he says he would rather Iran have the nuclear bomb than let Bush and Rumsfeld try to stop them from having it.
Well, because I mean, we're going to ask CNN about, because I think Bush is already, like, waving around the big warhead option.
Yeah, but I thought it was pretty good that even... Even Friedman says he'd just as soon Iran and Ahmadinejad have a nuclear weapon than let Bush try to fix the
problem.
Well,
here's the thing. Here's what I can do. I'm going to use that when I talk to Lisa Goddard, and she'll think that I'm more plugged into the current contemporary news
scene. Excellent. That's why I wanted to sneak that in here, you know.
Thanks. Look at you doing the Cliffs notes for me.
You know, I'll help out your situation with Lisa Goddard.
Excellent. Thank you so much,
Bruce. But now, don't you wear shiny basketball shorts all the time?
In no way and at no time. Sarah, have you ever seen me wearing shiny basketball shorts?
You have some...
Sarah?
No.
I don't. I don't. That's an unfair. If you were open.
You have some loose fitting, like weird material shorts that you bike ride in.
I have breathable fabric that I require. I don't want to have any binding or chafing while bike riding. That's not the same thing as,
breathable fabric, huh?
All right. I have to. Let's not talk about this anymore. All right. There you go. That's our good friend Bruce. There you go.
Somebody steals our New York Times every day. It's unfortunate since I think I'm the only newsman in the building at this time.
Fortunately, we've got endless copies of the sports page from USA Today. So that's, and the greens of the pages nobody wants. So that's good then. I don't wear shiny fabric.
You wear a lot of like cloth shorts. That have elastic waistbands.
Well, what am I going to wear when I bike ride? Something that's like form fitting?
I bike ride in my jeans.
Yeah, but I can't. First of all, I can't do that because I get all sweaty. And then I'm maybe walking around in my own
stink. They make shorts that aren't cloth with elastic waistbands.
What are they made of chainmail? What do you mean they're not made of cloth? Everything's made of cloth.
I mean, not the breathable fabric that you desire.
This is turning into what not to wear.
Not the breathable fabric that you desire. I don't even know what we're talking about now. The point is, Kyle and Nick Lachey would do reps together at the gym.
Yes, they would.
I came as soon as I heard. I was doing leg lifts at the gym. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, all right, let's talk about Tomcat and the Kitten.
God, can we please?
You know what? This is the last day.
This is the last
day.
It's not, though, because you know that something's going to happen.
So this young... Well, she's going to fall out of a high chair.
She's going to snap and smother it or something and,
fall on top of it. Well, the name Suri, which is the child's name...
I said it was Suri and no one believed me.
...has its origins in Hebrew meaning princess, or in Persian it means white rose. In English, a Suri is a horse-drawn cart, usually with a fringe on top.
That's what I'm saying. They named their kid after something from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. The baby was born in Los Angeles, but the exact location was not disclosed. Outside the Beverly Hills home, about a dozen reporters and photographers stood by. Security inside the compound videotaped the journalist. A security guard at the gate, which is shrouded in black to prevent anyone from seeing in, refused to release any information, like Scott McClellan.
So, let me understand. So, the location is unknown, and yet everybody was camped outside.
Yes.
No, see, that's because they only issued a press release saying, there's no... evidence that she actually
had. Oh, and nobody knows was actually there. Okay. Now see, you claim.
No. So this is what Tim and I were talking earlier, is that all last week she was wandering around doing all the shopping, which means that had to be her week away from the baby. It's been exactly a week since she was photographed.
But you're claiming that she needed a week away from the baby.
No, that's because that's what they...
Well, screaming and crying all day long, you would
do. That's what they say in Scientology. Right. They leave the baby
alone
for 7 days.
Maybe she likes mothering skills.
Now, I have here a February 17th photo, at least. Now, granted, this is a little dead. Now, and don't ask me if I have this because it's not, it's from a web page that I think is probably gone by now. This is from CNN, though. And this is the, Tomcat is one of those stupid phrases that the media started using to see if they could get other people to use it. We are not playing along.
Except for
Tim, who's a mindless flack to the media, the media powers that be, who has no free will.
But without it, this is just wires in a box.
Really? It's just to, hey, I had the greatest name for the band, which was Good Night and Good Rock. Nobody. Okay, but I think we found one. Let's post a little flag here. Flag, band name. I think last night we stumbled upon the band name. It was all me.
Does it have placenta in it?
No, it does not. Okay, here's a picture of Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise. Don't her breasts look enormous there?
I guess.
They look huge. So she was pregnant there.
You can only see the top of them. I mean, I can make my breasts look huge, too, if you get, the padding underneath.
Do it now.
Oh.
Yeah.
This doesn't prove anything.
I guess I printed it out because
you just wanted to look at her boobs.
Boobs look enormous. All right, I'm going to put that over here. Keep that. Okay, so the baby's been born.
And there's a second baby that's being ignored. Brooke Shields and husband Chris Henchy.
Boy, she looks weird lately. Have you seen Brooke Shields?
Well, she's old.
I always found her kind of strange looking anyway, sort of intense. Mm-hmm. And she is 100 years old now, so.
So that's about it. We have very little information on that. So
right.
I'm curious.
We should probably break here.
Why don't we do that?
Let's break and reset, as they say. We come back, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard's going to join us. I'm going to wow her with my knowledge of the Tom Friedman column in the New York Times. What else? I'm going to ask her if George Bush is crazy because he wants to nuke everything. We'll talk about Scott McClellan, none of which was on her run sheet this morning. So we'll see what she actually expects us to be talking about, and then we'll kind of talk about what we really want to. Sort of a bait and switch thing. Later on, we got CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. He's going to talk about bubonic plague in Los Angeles, and I'm not making it up. We'll also have metal trivia. We'll get to the news pile. We'll talk about Listener Party 9 happening tomorrow night. Zavala's Mount Tabor. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here is Jarvis Cocker and Paul. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You want to email, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop is going to talk about bubonic plague spreading through Los Angeles. And I swear to God, I'm not making that up. And know that I eschewed the obligatory Katie Holmes, baby, omen, end of the world, 666 black plague, the confluence of events there where that's comedy that I wasn't going to partake in that. I'm above that. I'm not really that above it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now from the Hill in Washington, D.C., CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing?
I am dandy. Hey, I have a... Can you settle a question here?
I'll try.
Sarah and I were talking about the fact that you always sound so unbelievably poised and very, very prim. And I mean that in a good way. I mean, you sound very composed all the time, no matter what sort of foolishness we throw at you.
All right. I'm nervous now about where this is.
No. It's a very innocent question.
I am too, actually.
It's a very innocent question. What do you people think of me? It's a very innocent question. I am speculating. I'm given like 2-to-1 odds that you went to a finishing school of some kind.
No, far from it. Far from it. I definitely had the working class babysitting to pay the hot water bills background.
Well, there you go. So it's a great triumphant story of a hard scrabble upbringing.
It's an American story.
It's scrappy.
Okay. Well, there you go. We'll see you then. You're spunky then. We like that too.
See, I'm impressed I have you fooled though.
Okay. Well, no, would you not, Sarah, if I had told you that Lisa Goddard went to some sort of a finishing school and was taught to be a proper woman of the world, you would believe that, wouldn't you?
I would totally believe that. I've never heard her sound unpleasant.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow, well, thank you.
Hey, so let's talk about, this is a billion things happening today.
Yes.
So there's the Rumsfeld, so they continue to dig in and insist that Rumsfeld won't be fired, which, let me ask you this. Just, is your read on this, on Rumsfeld, that this is a really, he's not going anywhere, or is this a, they're going to dig in, but they will ask him to pull his own ripcord at some point?
He's not going anywhere.
All right.
That's my read right now. I mean, anything can change in a year, but right now he is not going anywhere. And I think if you look at the amount of time this president has left, bring in a new defense secretary even 6 months down the road, and that person will have almost no time to do anything. And things are so complicated in Iraq, something dramatic would have to happen for Rumsfeld to go anytime in the next year.
Because that's not like swapping out a press secretary. I mean, it's like getting a new transmission in your car. I mean, it's a big thing you wouldn't want to change.
You can think of Rumsfeld, he almost is... obviously he's not the president, but in the military zone, he is like the president. He has such command, he has such power that a transfer or a change like that would be incredibly dramatic at this point.
Speaking of, by the way, people moving on out, obviously the late breaking news is Scott McClellan is going to be spending more time alone pondering his many mistakes. And that has got to be a job that just... We've seen that job chew so many people up and just spit them out in tiny little pieces. And when I say mistakes, not that he has done a poor job, but I think like Ari Fleischer before him, Dee Dee Myers before, that job just decimates your will to live. I mean, people come out of there, people go in looking spry and spunky, they come out looking as though they are broken men.
Yeah, I would not want that job. I agree with you on that. And I think almost the guys, while they have that job, and potentially a woman could come in too, it is like they have a strange outer shell. They're so revved up. They're trying to be funny, but you can tell underneath the surface there's kind of something going on. They're always tense. Yeah, it's a pressure cooker. That is a tough job.
I remember seeing it, especially during the Clinton years, lest anybody think that we were just maligning Bush here. I remember during the Clinton years, you just seen this guy. What is it, Joe Lockhart? There's guys that just, by the end, it's like you just see the bags under their eyes get bigger and bigger, and you can hear just sort of a broken tone in their voice, like they just go home every day and just stare at a freshly painted wall for hours, wondering exactly how it is that they've come to this point in their life. And that can't be a very high-paying job.
It's not. It's not a high-paying job. In fact, I think the chief of staff's job itself is like $170,000. So it's not, and that's a lot of money for most people. But when you consider that these folks, once they leave the White House, they'll be making potentially millions of dollars. They're really not earning a lot by Washington standards for what they're doing at the White House. And especially because the hours, a lot of these folks in this White House in particular get there at 5 a.m., leave 7, 8, 9 at night. It is really just a pressure cooker, tough job out there. And, you know, you've got to battle your own instincts because you might have to say things that you don't completely believe a lot of the time. I know that's hard for anyone out there to believe, but a lot of these press secretaries have to spin, and they have to put kind of maybe their own instincts aside sometimes and just be almost 100% political while trying to seem like a real person. It's a really nutty job.
And it takes all that energy to ignore Helen Thomas, too, so that'll sap you. We were talking about Rumsfeld and how he's more and more established, and despite calls for, you know, there's all these calls for his resignation, I mean, he's kind of continuing to be in charge. There's all of these new trouble spots sort of happening out there. And I don't know if you saw the New York Times this morning, but there was that the Freeman column about what we're, I guess, tactfully calling the Iranian situation. And he's always been so much of the administration's pocket that his take seems to be that, and I don't think he actually used these words, but I think his take was that he would rather see Iran become fully nuclear capable in terms of weaponry than, to him, that is more preferable than whatever the Bush administration's solution is going to be to this. And
I think a lot of people are really confused, and there are people all over the board on this with Iran saying, hey, we think that the Bush administration engaging is going to make things worse.
Now, my question for you, and I realize that you have this sort of sheen of journalistic neutrality and respectability, but I...
Sour.
No, not a sheen, but you know what I mean? I mean, I know you have, you must obtain, respect a certain objectivity with these things, but...
Yeah.
We were talking about yesterday the fact that Bush, they asked him flat out if he would use a nuclear first strike against Iran, and he said something to the effect of, I wouldn't take it off the table. What's the journalistic term for this? Does that seem crazy to you? Just a little nutty?
Was that crazy? Is that gaga? You know, I think that the Bush administration, their whole goal is they really want to keep all of their rhetorical weapons in place. They want to be as strong-armed as they can around the world, so they don't want to back down on any possibility.
Yeah, but it just sounds a little crazy to be on nationwide television announcing that you are certainly not ruling out a nuclear first strike against Iraq.
Well, it tells you to the degree. I one of my theories with the Bush administration, and I think this is starting to go for Democrats too. I think the Clinton administration did this to some degree too, but the Bush administration's brought it to a new level. They have certain rules for how they communicate. They have rules for when they answer questions. Like, you'll notice a lot of times they'll answer a question one time, and it could be even months before, but McClellan or whoever it is will say, well, I answered that question 5 months ago. You'll have to look at that answer.
Right.
Now, he won't even know what his answer was, but he's not going to give you another opportunity to catch him making news or to make a mistake. And I think with the president, they seem to have this guideline that they are trying to keep all options on the table. So even when you make something like, you know, hey, is killing babies an option? You know, I'm sure he would say no to that, but it seems like even if you give him a big example like a first strike nuclear attack, his gut reaction or his initial reaction is all options are on the table, because that's their answer to almost anything when it comes to Iran.
Well, babies would be killed, though.
Yes. it is sort of that Chinese proverb come to life that may you live in interesting times. I do believe those times are upon us. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Thank you, Lisa.
You got it.
All right, there you go. That's Lisa Goddard calling from the Hill right there, Washington, D.C. See how I slid in that New York Times? And I didn't call him Tom Friedman. I just said Friedman, as though we're pals.
As though you saw the Times.
It is. So Bruce didn't just call up and, like, prep us over that. You probably saw it. You subscribed to the Times.
I only get it on Sunday.
Oh, well, never mind. Rick, how about a band name of Rick Emerson's Manhole? Just going to delete that. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, a cougar bit a man on the leg last night as he was playing fetch with his dog in Leavenworth, Washington. It happened in a rural area near the eastern slope of the Cascades. The man was treated for a puncture wound to his calf. He said the big cat actually didn't act overly threatened, more like a house cat chasing a big ball of yarn. A Klamath Falls woman was hit and killed after getting out of her car to apparently help an injured bird. Dina Marin was leaving the south parking lot of Redmeyer when she stopped on the side near Shasta Way. She apparently exited her car to help the bird near the side of the road when she was sideswiped by another vehicle.
And I think the bird's dead, too. So there you go. The moral is help nothing. Well, that happened to us this weekend. We were out to see, and I can tie this. Do I have a live read for CD Game Exchange coming up today?
You know, let me check.
Because if so, I'll wait and I'll make this part of my...
Nope, that'd
be
not
good.
Today.
Oh.
Well, you might as well do it now.
I should just call them and... I should just call them and tell, look, we're going to have to charge you a little something because I'm going to be... Well, I was going to tie this. Imagine in your head that there's some sort of Lenny D music playing underneath this, and it's part of some... it's just a continuing service here at the Rick Emerson Show. But the point is, this is actually true. That I forgot it was Easter Sunday because we're all lapsed Catholics here, and we're all going to spirit prison when we die. But I forgot it was Easter, and I was like, what do you want to do? And I honestly said this. This is true. I said, you know, CD Game Exchange has that brand new location on Southeast McLaughlin near Milwaukee. We should go check it out. I hear there are many new releases, including a Death Cab for Cutie CD. Let's go now. And so we got in the car. We go, and of course, we walk out of the door, closed, Easter. You know, and then we all realize, and she's a Mormon. She don't know what the hell, you know.
The Mormons have Easter?
I'm not even really sure that they believe in God. Anyway, so we're coming back. Anyway, here's the point. You know that Pietro's on the way to Milwaukee? Just pretend you do.
Yes,
we're driving along, speeding along like 50 miles an hour, and this big golden lab runs out in front of our car. She's, of course, like looking over at me to illustrate some point about, you know, something or other. You know, it was this big, and I see the dog run in front of the car. And I'm screaming, I'm like, ah, dog! And she veers to the left, and we came within like an inch of hitting that thing. I mean, it was a big dog. We'd have creamed the thing if we did hit it. So we came within like an inch. And then we look back, and the dog is, of course, because dogs are deeply stupid, the dog is just frolicking in the middle of the highway. You know, it's not like officially a highway, but, or is it? You know what I'm talking about, that big, it goes by Reed. It might actually be a highway. It's a highway. But the cars are going in a
99E.
They're driving rapidly. Yeah, so the dog is running back and forth across the highway. And of course the problem is when you get a dog, all dogs that you see become like stand-ins for your dog. You know how this is. And I don't mean to turn this into a pet thing, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
You see a story, or you see a dog somewhere, or some sad story about a dog, and in your head you mentally just insert your dog into the story. And so, of course, because we have a dog, we're therefore whipped. And so we look back, and I'm like, well, we got to go stop the dog. So we spent the next 20 minutes driving Lars, like, on the side road, this sort of arterial, driving parallel to the highway while I'm myself trying not to be whacked by a car because the dog has no – he's just running around in the highway like cars are missing him by inches on either side. And luckily we had some like loose food in the trunk of the car, and I was finally able to like lure him over. And the dog is huge. It's like the size of a Shetland pony. And no tag, nothing, no identifiable whatever. We call animal control, and it's a lot of, we are closed for the Easter weekend. So we end up packing the dog into the back of my minuscule car, which is not meant to hold like a giant lab. And we take him home, and we finally got an animal control guy to come pick him up. So it's just a bad... But I came within like this close being killed numerous times, like an idiot trying to rescue a dog. So there you go. I've done my good deed. So that's going to balance out my negative karma for the next day or so. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Time for the Britney Watch.
Here's your Britney Watch for Wednesday.
Britney Spears' baby boy recently fell and bonked his head, but the singer repeatedly thinks that the high chair may be to blame. The daddy was taking the 7-month-old tot from his high chair earlier this month when something snapped, according to reported people. Baby Sean was taken to the hospital where he was deemed okay, but now Spears is looking into suing the maker of the chair, according to In Touch Weekly. The chair's back broke, a family insider explained to the mag. She's going to see if that's the fault of the chair.
The fault of the chair. As somebody said this morning on FARC, it's good that she's grasping that parental responsibility thing right out of the gate.
Meanwhile, Cher Jackson, the mother of two children by Spears' hubby Kevin, reportedly doesn't have good faith in Spears' mothering abilities.
You're going to take parental advice from a woman named Char.
She told Kevin that Britney can't be alone with their kids. Char said that if Kevin wanted to see their kids, he and Britney would have to do it at a hotel.
Okay, well, snippy much? All right, there you go. There's your...
Oh, I saw that video of her dancing.
Isn't it great?
Oh, my God.
She's in a rather form-fitting outfit, wouldn't you say?
That was so awful.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's sort of like she put on the pants and then started eating. It's like she inflated herself while wearing the outfit. And she's in that dance studio like you see in the Madonna video, the hardwood floor with the big wall of mirrors and the whatever, the bar that you put your leg up on when you're doing a stretching or whatever, wearing an outfit that, and, you know, God love her, she's still cute and all, I guess, but that's an outfit she shouldn't be wearing.
No, and dance moves that she shouldn't be doing.
Sort of whirling herself around like some sort of fleshy dirigible.
She's doing like interpretive dancing, and she weighs about 50 pounds more than she did the last time.
Totally. It's a whole lot of like, yeah, and now I'm the Hindenburg, you know, and that's kind of the whole...
It's a lot of flailing and uncomfortableness.
And fleshiness. There's your Britney watch. Oh, the huge manatee. Huge manatee. All right. Should I take these phone calls?
Yes, why not?
We don't have any Scotty J here to...
When is he going to be back?
I'm going to be coming Friday. But he's going to be at the party tomorrow. They're going to make him come and hang banners.
Oh, good.
And then we can make him do whatever. Let's think of something embarrassing to make him do. Everybody just sort of put on your thinking toques. Hi, Rick Emerson. Joe, who's this?
Hey, this is Jason.
Hey, Jason. How can I help you?
Band name for you.
Ah, God. Okay.
Han shot first.
Han shot first.
Yes.
Okay, I thought you said pawn shop first.
That's what I thought.
Han shot first. That's actually really good. Han shot first. I'd be amazed if that isn't taken already. That's gotta be taken.
No.
And then you can get... I'm sorry. Didn't mean to front on your knowledge. The best part is you'll get extra publicity when George Lucas sues us.
Well, you know... What are you going to do?
And it is true, by the way. Han shot
first. He's got enough money.
Yes, that's always stopped him in the past. I don't want to dump on my own legacy, but okay. Han shot first. That's fantastic. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right, there you go. See you tomorrow.
Yep.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is George.
Hi, George. How can I help you?
Well, I have a couple of exceptions. Well, mainly one. You said that you're a dog owner.
Yeah.
Do you still have that little white fluffy thing? Is that what you're considering a dog?
Now, are you really calling up to pick a fight with a man about his dog? Is that really what this is?
No, I really wanted to say I'm glad you're back on the air. I've missed you. I was going through withdrawals all the time that you were off.
Excellent.
I thought I'd never hear your lovely voice again, and I'm just glad you're back.
Now, are you? Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Now, are you going to the listener party tomorrow?
I'd love to. I know.
But what?
What can I say?
But well, you
I'm
can
married,
say.
I have a son.
What is son? How old is he?
14.
He's old. Oh, please! He's old enough to fend for himself. If these kids don't look, if he's walking upright and everything, right? He can change himself.
With some help, yes.
Oh, have I entered? Oh, have I put my foot right into it?
No. That was kind of a joke.
He's not. He's not differently abled, is he?
Not any more so than I am.
Oh, God damn. Okay, I felt really bad there first. I'm like, well, he can change himself. And you're like, well, sort of. I'm like, oh.
On his good days.
Oh, yes. With the nurse there.
He could be before the accident.
Oh. Okay, but it was a joke, so.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then where do you live? What part of town?
Oregon City.
What the hell is your problem? Sarah, would you help me out here? I'm too tired to berate people. He's got a teenage son who
he has to take care of his child.
He knows how to open a can of soup. He can take... What are you going to... He's not going to burn the house down, probably.
It's only for a couple hours.
Track practice, it wouldn't be a problem, but he can't.
He can't what?
Drive himself to track practice.
How far away is track practice from where you live?
About 2 miles.
There's no reason
to... 2 miles? You're telling me 14-year-old... Look, I had to walk to school 3 miles as a kid.
Uphill both ways in the snow, right?
Well, I'm just saying. How late does your son's track practice run?
7.
7? The party didn't even start till 7.
You're really trying to convince me, aren't you?
I thought I'd just let it go. Look, can I just tell you something? Do we have our soap opera music?
Yes.
Okay, hold on just a second. Now, I want you to listen here. Now, listen. I'm just going to explain a little something here. I'm going to lay it out for you. Now, I want you to clear your mind. I want you to clear your mind of all distractions, and I want you to remember something.
Yes?
I want you to remember a time. A time not so long ago. A time a little over a month back, when you didn't have the Rick Emerson Show. The Rick Emerson Show was taken from you. The Rick Emerson Show was thought to be gone forever. The Rick Emerson Show was thought to be over. Done. Finished. Toast. A thing of the past. Tossed on the dust heap of discarded programs and ideas. And then, that program was resuscitated. It was brought back. It was revitalized. Fresh life was breathed anew into its lungs. And now tomorrow, at Rick Emerson Listener Party 9, we are going to demonstrate not only to the people who fired us last time and replaced us with an automated oldie station that no one listens to, and also to CBS Radio, who were good enough to pick us up out of the gutter, to dust us off, to give us a new home. We are trying to demonstrate the wisdom of that decision. Now, if we were to fail to demonstrate the loyalty of the audience, you wouldn't want the Rick Emerson Show to be canceled again.
You're still talking?
Would you? Would you?
Oh,
you even picked up a stray dog on the way to his hometown the other day.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how far you'll go.
You know, my life has been so much better since you've come back.
And yet when the chips are on the table, when it's time for the rubber to meet the road, you're not there for us.
But let me ask you this.
All we do for you, we create 15 hours a week for you.
Let me ask you this, Rick.
Uh-huh.
Will that party be less successful if I'm not there?
Yes, it'll be less
what
successful.
What if everyone thought like that, George?
That's exactly what I'm saying, George. What if everyone had your mindset?
Well, thankfully, nobody else has my mindset.
George.
One person does make a difference.
George.
I know.
You may only be one person in the world, but you may be the world to one person, George. And
one
that person is Rick Emerson.
Oh, I'm deeply touched.
Okay, hold on. I don't want you to go anywhere. We're going to take a... Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Charlie.
Charlie, are you listening to this?
Yes, I am.
I want you to talk to George right now.
Okay. George, you got to come to the listener party. It's so fun. I've been to every single one for like the past 3 or 4 years, and it's like the greatest time you'll ever have.
And I want you to tell him how much it means to have a good turnout, how important it is that CBS Radio see the power and the glory and the devotion and the loyalty of the Rick Emerson audience.
That too, and it's also good for the beer distributors in the Portland area.
Yeah, that's also true.
It stimulates the economy.
It does. It's good for America, George.
Well, there's only one thing I would like to have stimulated, and I don't know if I can get that.
All right, hold on. I have to thank you. With the There you go. There's going to be hot chicks and schoolgirl outfits. Sarah Dillon's going to be wearing something especially snug. It's true. Not really true.
I'd love to see Sarah in person.
Well, it's...
I'll be there.
It doesn't really require... You don't have to do any calculus or anything. All you really have to do is be there. You say it like we're asking you to scale Everest.
Ah, Rick.
What is the holdup? What could you possibly still be weighing? All right, Charlie, thank you.
Ball and chain at home.
Charlie, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. The ball and chain. What are you, 5? Be a man. Bring her with you.
No, not a good idea.
I swear to God, George, I'm going to come over there and I'm going to cuff you myself. Hold on just a second. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Mike.
Mike, would you please talk to this man for me? Talk to George.
Rick, I don't even know how to begin with this gentleman. Why is he trying to question you, saying, no, Rick, let me ask you this. No. This man has no idea.
That's what I'm saying.
Rick, you are a beautiful, beautiful man.
Well, thank you.
And you have made our days much better. I tell you what, the day you went off, it was a Friday, I believe, after the last listener party.
Yes.
I took the day off.
You actually...
I went home sick to my stomach. I built custom homes for a living,
uh-huh.
Uncle Rick, and... Man, I just couldn't deal with it. I'm taking Friday off.
So
I'm going to get wasted.
So let me understand this. Hold on a minute. So two things. A, you were so bereft. You were so upset and traumatized when the show went off last time. You actually had to take time off from work.
Rick, I was roofing a house.
George, do you remember that dark day when the Rick Emerson Show went away?
Unfortunately, I remember every minute.
I don't think you do. I think that somebody has forgotten the lessons of the past. Now, let me ask you this, and then, so you've already taken Friday off, is that right?
Yeah, Rick, I'm risking my employment right now on a company phone just to weigh in on this issue.
All right, but that's how much you care, because you want the Rick Emerson Show to have a permanent home. You want us to be successful. You don't want this show to be ripped away from you like a fetus from the womb.
Oh, dude, my fetus was ripped from the womb, Rick. I was ripping the house, buddy. I'll tell you this, ripping the house. I heard that oldies crap come on.
Yes.
I was done.
It was
done
a
deal.
It was a dark day.
Oh, it was a dark, dark day.
It was a day. It's a wound that is now, even now, it is still healing.
Oh, it's still bleeding like a woman's menstrual cycle.
Okay, that really wasn't... I appreciate the spirit, though. I know where you were going with that.
Hey, I apologize, but I got to get back to work before I get fired.
Thank you, sir.
Friday, brother?
Thursday.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm still thinking of recuperating on
Friday. You're thinking of the bad time last year and the good time tomorrow and the Friday you're taking off.
Dude, last Wilson Listener Party was the best night of my life.
See, that's what I'm saying. All right, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, partner.
All right, there you go.
Okay, Rick, one more thing.
Oh, please.
I don't drink myself, but if I do come, can I buy you something?
I'm sure any number of people will take you up on that. Sarah, this is funny. Sarah just... Me.
Yeah,
Sarah just raised her hand.
Drinker.
Well, I got it. You've heard us before. I can barely speak the day afterward anyway. So, sir, we will hoist many cups in the honor of all that is something or other and rock and whatnot. All right, now, is this a pledge that you're going to be there?
I will see you tomorrow.
All right, you come there. We're going to bring you up on stage, and we are going to shower you with praise.
As long as that's all you shower me with, I'll be fine.
Yeah. You're batting 1,000 here. All right. George, we will see you tomorrow. Is this your solemn pledge in front of God and the Rick Emerson audience?
Yes.
All right. Now, if you weasel out on this, we'll find you and we'll kill you. I don't mean figuratively. I mean, we'll kill you, and then we will hide your bones in the desert, and no one will ever find them.
Okay,
there you go. Thank you, George. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye. There you go. God damn. Boy, that's, you know what it is? That's selling retail there is what I'm doing.
Fighting for every listener.
That really is. That's some door-to-door pimping that I'm doing right there.
Did a good job, Rick.
Bunch of bitches. All right. There you go. Listener Party 9 happens tomorrow. And I'm all drained now. I may have to hand this show off to, I may just have to find somebody in the hallway to do the rest of the show now. I'm wiped. All right. Tell you what, here's what's coming up. Jim Roop's going to talk Black Plague. We got heavy metal trivia coming up. What else? We never did get a chance to talk to chicks who have a crush on Sarah. We'll try to do that. We've got news about the Star Wars kid, this busboy assaulted. We'll go back to the city desk with Tim Riley, and we'll take more of your calls about Listener Party 9. Oh, and we'll reveal what I think the name of the band is. I think we found the name of the band. Reveal it on the way here. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on KCMD AM Portland. You stay there. Here's Faith No More. Don't go anywhere. It's Johnson 970.